Hi, and welcome to the Her Podcast, where it's all about her mind, her body, and her life. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and I'm so excited to have Dr. Robert Singer on with us today. But before we talk with Dr. Singer, do me a huge favor, and please head on over to iTunes so you can rate and review the show. Why? Because that ramps up our visibility, and then we can attract more people just like you who want to know how to be the best her possible. So thanks so much.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind.
Her body.
Her life.
It's all about her.
All right. On this episode, we're thrilled to have Dr. Robert Singer. He is a board-certified, internationally recognized plastic surgeon, and quite frankly, our go-to plastic surgeon for all things, what are you doing to your body already? And he emanates from La Jolla, San Diego. He's also a fantastic expert internationally, speaker, presenter, and quite frankly, our go-to person for all the questions that now pop up about, well, plastic surgery like today. So first, welcome Dr. Robert Singer. Hey, Robert, how are you doing?
I'm well. I'm glad to be with you, and I look forward to this. Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, it's all about selfies and Skype that's prompting plastic surgery. What? It's called hypervanity, and it's been written about right and left now, and that is, well, you know better than anyone, Robert, that quite frankly, plastic surgeons are now seeing an increase in cosmetic surgery, injectables, and related, and people under the age of 30 who are looking at those selfies and are quite frankly horrified by what they see and are just, oh my gosh, fix me already. And then on the other end of the spectrum are the Skypers, and those are the boomers who are now looking closely at the Skype screen and saying, what the heck happened here? And then running right into your office. So let's start with what's going on with selfies and plastic surgery.
Well, the astounding thing is that it's estimated that that females aged 16 to 25 spend about 5 hours a week taking selfies. And on average,
oh my God, 5 hours? Are you
a
kidding?
Week. And on average, there are 93 million selfies taken worldwide each day. And also estimated that the average millennial will take 25,700 selfies in their lifetime. So we're seeing,
okay,
exhausted. You go anywhere you go, you see someone taking a selfie.
Oh my God.
So with that, you know, people are looking at these images, and the images are actually somewhat distorted because of the angles they're taken from, the lighting. But that's not really how people often look in real life. So they're seeing imperfections and asymmetries. First of all, everybody has asymmetries. Almost no one is identical from side to side. But these magnify those. So people see distorted images because of the angles they're taking from, and they want to look as good as they can look. Part of that is, in the past, you know, you met people. That was the first introduction. That was your first impression. Now, your first impression or first meeting may be on the web, maybe on your cell phone, maybe on Instagram. That's what people see, and they want to make that positive impression.
Oh, that's incredible. And, you know, it really shows us how much everything has changed. You and I remember when you just sort of high-five someone and you look them straight in the eye. Now you're looking at them straight in the screen, you know, no matter what device you're looking at. So what's happening in your office? You're a plastic surgeon. You're an expert. What are you seeing now as a trend as it relates to selfies and plastic surgery?
Well, we live in a culture that's youth and beauty obsessed. whether that's good or bad, that's the reality of the society we live in. So people are increasingly looking at their own pictures, they're coming in, and they're seeing these areas that they want improved. And they're comparing their body images and facial features to celebrities, which often are individuals who have been photoshopped. They're photos that are out there of the celebrities have had extensive makeup, professional lighting. So those people don't even look like that in real life, but that's the standard that often youthful people come in looking for. And also, a lot of the celebrities in the photos they've seen, they've had plastic surgery to enhance their features. Interestingly, some of them say, oh, no, I would never do plastic surgery. I may consider doing a filler. It may be okay for someone else, but not for me. And, you know, those people have been in a number of our offices, and they've had the surgery, but they don't necessarily admit to that. So individuals are coming in now, bringing in both photos of celebrities, but also bringing in their selfie pictures and saying, oh, I see this, I see this, can I improve this? And the areas that they're most concerned about, again, because the angles of the shots, are their neck. They see their lips and they compare it to some people in the media. They see imperfections in their skin. Rhinoplasties, a significant number of patients who come in looking at their photos on social media or on selfies come in saying, oh, I'd like my nose improved. Either I would like the profile improved, or I would like the tip improved, or I feel it's too long. The important thing to realize is you can, if it's appropriate, you can improve those things, but you can't necessarily make them look like someone else, because that nose they bring in, or that neck, or that chin on someone else looks good on that someone else, but may not be in harmony and balance on that patient's face. So it's all a matter of putting it in perspective, putting the features in harmony. Not everybody who comes in should have procedure. And good ethical plastic surgeons tell patients, no, I don't think that's in your best interest. Perhaps later on in life, or that's really not going to achieve what you want it to achieve.
Well, Robert, is this hard for you to do sometimes? Do people just come in literally pushing you for the surgery? Just saying, you know, I don't really care. I just really, really want it done. What do you really say to someone like that? I mean, that's got to be kind of a challenge for you in the office.
Well, first you evaluate the individual. What's their motivation? Is it proper? What do they want to achieve for this? Are they doing it for someone else? Are they doing it because they think it'll give them a promotion in a job? Those things won't happen. If they're realistic, and the vast majority of patients come in are realistic and they're fine. If they're not, I explain to them, if you were my daughter or my wife, I wouldn't do this procedure on them. I don't think it'll achieve what you want to do. I think that the downside may outweigh the benefits. There may be some other things that you should look at about improving yourself, or exercise or diet or health. But I don't think plastic surgery is the best answer for you at this point.
Yeah.
Now, some of them may be disappointed, but I'd rather they be disappointed at that moment than be disappointed the rest of their lives for doing something that they shouldn't have done and wouldn't achieve what they wanted to do.
So, Robert, are you seeing an uptick yourself in people under 30?
I do, but we also see them because we offer esthetician services, and they come in, they want their skin improved. They also are looking at photos of others on social media with, you know, prominent cleavage, or they're looking at now Instagrams of individuals whose bodies are a little more curvaceous or have fuller buttocks. So we're seeing requests for that more than we used to. But most of the patients who come in for selfies are looking for the facial area. They're looking for, as they say, nose, chin, if they have full cheeks, or they're noting some depressions and they want those smoothed out.
Well,
I think all of us are seeing those.
Okay, and that's exactly what the statistics now show. Okay, now you mentioned the issue of full this and full that. I was told that fat is the future of plastic surgery, that harnessing it and using it to reshape the body will continue to be the trend for many years to come. Is that true?
I think that if you're looking at natural results, you want to fill areas that are depressed and tighten areas that are excessive. Or if they're excessively full, you want to take those down. So it's a matter of, if you look at a face and you see the creases in a fold, in the nasolabial fold, what you want to do are minimize those areas of demarcation, high and low. So if it's excessive, you take it down. If it's loose, you want to tighten it. If it's depressed, you want to fill it. And it's not only from aging, it may be from scars, from trauma. So fillers have been around for a long time. The original filler that was popularized was collagen. That was developed by a fellow at Stanford who was a resident with me in the past. And collagen was based on bovine or cow material. You had to be skin tested to make sure you weren't allergic. It was very popular, but there were a little more problems with it. After that came hyaluronic acids. Restylane, Juvederm, Luma.
Oh, yes.
They're terrific. They're probably the second most frequent procedure done worldwide after Botox.
Wow.
And they last 6 to 9 months. They're very good at minimizing depressions, but they're temporary. If something more permanent, and there are permanent synthetic fillers, but they're long-term problems, and I would not suggest using permanent synthetic fillers. But fat...
Good suggestion.
Fat's your own. You can't be allergic to it. You can't reject it. And it gives a terrific result. Plus, in most areas, 30 to 50% last permanently. So for patients who do a lot of fillers, fat sometimes is far more cost-effective long-term. So we're seeing fat injections in depressions in the body. We're seeing it to augment the buttock area. We're seeing it for very subtle, natural enhancements in the facial area. Most patients that I do a lift on, I also add very conservative areas of fat in the areas of depression to give that natural, smoother look. What you don't
and
want
are you
are
taking
procedures.
That primarily from, well, are you taking it from the tummy?
You take it from where they have it. Some patients have it excess in the tummy, some have it on the thighs, some have it on their hips. So you take it in the area that is going to produce the least distortion, and where the patient has it excessively. If there's large volumes you need, you may take it from multiple areas. There have been a lot of studies that look at, does it really make a difference what area you take it from? And there's some conflicting data, but most of the studies show it doesn't really make a difference which area you take it from. Patients who are younger retain fat a little bit more than some patients who are older. If you lose a lot of weight, you're going to lose the volume of some of the fat cells. If you gain weight significantly, not a small amount, but significantly, those fat cells also enlarge. It's also the area you put it in. Areas of excess motion, like the lip area, generally may not retain quite as much as areas that are static, that don't move as well. It's very variable how much you retain, but it is, in my mind, the best filler, and we're seeing more and more use of it as surgeons have learned to do it naturally, not overdo it, and how to treat the fat appropriately to get the best retention of it.
I love it. Well, you know, we've been, again, talking about this, you know, fat is the future. And I think, you know, you really affirmed that in a big way. So let's now kind of flip over to the other end of the age spectrum, and that is the boomers, for all intents and purposes. And as people over the age of 50, as they are looking at things like Skype, maybe they're doing fewer selfies than the young ones, but man, they're Skyping with family and they're doing this and back and forth. So what's going on there? Have you seen an uptick in the number of boomers who are now much more interested in doing some level of improvement?
Absolutely. And part of that is they're more involved with social media. They're on Facebook, they send Instagram, but they're on Skype with their families, with their grandchildren. And they look at that and they don't like the image that they see, or they're sending some videos and they don't like how they're looking on the videos, or they've re-entered the workplace, the market for jobs, and they think that if they can look fresher, they're more competitive. They don't like how they look on that. And again, part of that is the distortion of the angles that it's shot from. So if they're also sending out videos within their jobs, they want to look fresher, and they're coming in and saying, I'd like some improvement in this. I just want to look fresher. I don't want to look different. Most of the patients I see want to look natural. They don't want that extreme look. And I think that the other thing to bring up is that we're talking about, again, hyper vanity, but that's not really the situation. Most of the patients that we see come in are realistic. They want to just have some improvement. They want older patients just want to turn the clock back, look a little bit more how they looked before, or a little bit more how they feel inside.
Well, I think that point, Robert, that you just made is incredibly important. I think there's a stereotype out there that if you come to a plastic surgeon that you've got those, you know, I also think there's been a lot of hype on TV and all the rest of it about people who pretty much get obsessed with plastic surgery and really have it overdone and ridiculous. But what you're really saying is as a plastic surgeon, the grand majority of the people you see are fairly realistic, are looking for improvement that falls within realistic expectations of what you're going to get out of it. I love the idea of the boomers, you know, now being able to either re-enter the job force or maybe dating or whatever the issue is, and just to look naturally fresher, as you put it. And they're all pretty realistic about this. Now, I think that's an very important point to make so that people feel much more comfortable about coming in to see a board-certified plastic surgeon like yourself and to have a real, you know, a transparent conversation about what their needs are. So thank you for making sure that all of us get that message, because I think a lot of people may have misconceptions about what really happens with plastic surgery. Don't you think, Robert?
I think you brought up a couple of very interesting points, and that is that people who are totally obsessed and have multiple procedures and are overdone, that's the end of the bell-shaped curve. Those individuals need something, but it's not plastic surgery. They need some emotional counseling because they're ultimately never going to get where they want to be, and they'll be ultimately disappointed, and they'll continue to have things. But that's a small minority of patients. Those patients should be discouraged from doing plastic surgery. The vast majority of patients are not like that. The vast majority, as I say, want some improvement. And the other concept about vanity, anything to excess is a problem. But I'm not sure who gave vanity a bad name. The best definition of vanity I heard is it's the desire to excel. And some people, you know, want a new suit. Some people get teeth whitening. Some women will get a new haircut, they'll wear new makeup, they'll get new shoes. Plastic surgery is one more option. It's not for everybody. It's nice that the options exist for those who want it, but also you also want to go make sure that you see a board-certified plastic surgeon. And remember,
heck yeah,
there are a lot of people out there who call themselves a plastic surgeon. All they need is an MD degree, and they don't necessarily have any proper training. So you want to make sure, American Board of Plastic Surgery, there is no nationally recognized board by the American Board of Medical Specialties that has the word cosmetic in it. And you don't want to go to clinics or national groups that essentially are selling surgery where the first person you see is somebody who's really a quote, patient coordinator, but they are really a salesperson, and they are booking you for surgery before you ever see the surgeon. You need to see the surgeon, be properly evaluated whether you're a good candidate, and then know the options. If somebody just has one modality of treatment, they're going to use that on everybody. You want to go to somebody who has all the modalities of treatment so they can pick the best procedure for your individual needs rather than fitting you to the technology that they just bought.
I think that that is so terribly important, those two words, board certified in plastic surgery. And, you know, we've all been reading about these horror stories of people who roll into clinics or whatever kind of outpatient facility and end up with terrible results because the people were not qualified and certified, as you had mentioned. And this is not, so please be your own best advocate out there in her land. And that means that you need to be looking for a board certified plastic surgeon. And right, Robert, ask for it up front. Just say, hey, is Dr. So-and-so a board-certified plastic
surgeon? But you have to ask, which board? Somebody can say they're board-certified plastic surgeon, but all that means is that their background is internal medicine or radiology, and they're doing plastic surgery because most states don't require you specifically to say what the board is. The second thing, when you look at safety and best outcomes, one is the surgeon who's doing it, but secondly, for safety, is the facility. You want to make sure that the facility, if you're going to have surgery, is accredited by one of the national organizations, like the American Association for Accreditation of Ambulatory Surgery Facilities. Only 27 states actually require any credentialing of a surgical facility office-based, which
Ouch.
Is, to me,
Whoa,
obscene.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I agree.
Jeez.
And everybody assumes that there's regulations for oversight of all surgical facilities office-based. Unfortunately, there's not. I wish there was.
Wow. Well, so, you know, just as we're kind of bringing this all to a circle here, what we're hearing now is that there's no question that now that we live in the age of social media, we're staring at each other. And we're staring at ourselves and we're looking at all kinds of devices and screens, and really they become the mirror. And as distorted as a lot of this is, certainly a selfie, you know, your nose looks like as big as an elephant half the time, and it really isn't. It's just the angle and all the rest of it, as you said so wonderfully. You know, you want to sit down and you really want to analyze, do you really want to change yourself? And if so, why? What are your expectations? And then if you really, truly want to explore some level of improvement, natural-looking level of improvement, then sit down with a board-certified in plastic surgery physician like Dr. Robert Singer, as we've been talking about for the last, you know, X number of minutes, and have a transparent and open conversation. And if that person is ethical and wonderful like Dr. Singer, you're going to get a real honest and truthful interaction. Find out what you really want. And it doesn't matter what your age, whether you're a millennial or whether you're a boomer, you all need to be able to really just sort of sit down and be peaceful and calm and really honest with yourself about what you're going to get out of all of this. Because you want to know something? You know, you're right, Dr. Singer. This whole issue of wanting to improve isn't hyper vanity for the grand majority of the people who come in to see you. What it is a matter of just trying to improve yourself, feel better about yourself, and maybe do a little bit of that freshening up and a little bit of improvement here and there. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Just making sure that everything is done by the book and truthfully and openly. Don't you think, Dr. Singer, do you have any last thoughts about that?
I think that procedures need to be age appropriate. You don't want to have something on an individual who's a boomer that it looks more appropriate on somebody who's a millennial. So looking fresh, looking as healthy as you can, looking more vibrant, I think is great. I don't think you should overreact to any selfie or any image on Skype or on social media. But if there's an area that bothers you, go in, have a consultation, find out the options, but know not only about the upside, but what the downside is. Most procedures done by board-certified plastic surgeons on appropriate patients are done safely. They have good outcomes. Most of the patients are happy with it. But that has to be an individual decision, whether it fits into your lifestyle or whether it's worth any downtime, whether it's worth the cost, and what will it ultimately achieve for you. And if that's appropriate, then that's fine. If it's not, if it's more than you want to do, don't do it. Sometimes smaller procedures can achieve some things for you, but remember, a very, very minimal procedure isn't going to give you a maximum improvement. So you have to think of all those things in balance, and the best way to do that is not on social media. It's an in-person evaluation with the appropriately trained individual.
I love it. Everyone out there in Heard Podcast land, we've been talking to our go-to plastic surgeon, Dr. Robert Singer. Learn more about his wonderful work by going over to his website, and that is rsingermd.com. Dr. Singer, you have been just absolutely invaluable in helping us understand what's going on with selfies and Skype prompting plastic surgery. Hey, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Remember to catch every episode of the Her Podcast. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or on our show page at RadioMD.com. And if I can ask a favor, please take just a few seconds and rate this podcast on iTunes. Why? Because we want to attract more people just like you for the show. And the only way we can do that is if you rate it, which helps the show get more visibility, and give it a review as well. Hey, my mom's reading these things. It better look good. And if you could do that for us, we would so greatly appreciate it. Hey, this is a Her Podcast. It's all about her mind, her body, and her life. And I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Twitter at PamPeekMD. And you can also check out our Her Radio show page at RadioMD.com for all of our past episodes. Thanks for listening, and hey, stay well.